If you'd remain standing for our scripture reading this morning, I'll turn your attention to John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3. If you have your Bibles handy, you can turn with me to that, and I'll be reading verses 14 to 21 of John chapter 3. As we just sang, this season is called Lent, and it's a time to remember the cross that Jesus was heading towards. And the words that we read here were spoken in light of that cross. And so I'll read for you today John 3, 14 through 21, reading in Jesus' name. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. This ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Well, there was a day this week when I woke up late, and it's not because my alarm didn't go off. In fact, my alarm went off twice. I've got one of these alarm clocks that you can set two different alarms on it, and knowing how I am in the morning, I set both, usually about 20 minutes apart, so that one alarm will go off, I'll turn that off, or make it snooze, and then the other one will go off, and that morning, they both went off, and I turned them both off, and promptly fell back asleep. So, don't pretend like you haven't had mornings like that. I know better. Anyway, I woke up sometime after 7:30. I'm not sure exactly when it was, and that's a bit of a problem because I like to be over here at the office about 8 o'clock to open mail and do email and all that kind of stuff. So I kind of crawled myself out of bed and dunked my head under some running water and got dressed, got some food and coffee into me, and put on my shoes. Unfortunately, there were only a few lights on in the house, so my sleepy eyes weren't assaulted by the light, you know. But unfortunately, the sun hadn't got the message that it wasn't ready for bright lights yet. And so I walked outside, and here's this bright, beautiful day, and this nice clear morning, and these sleepy eyes were just subjected to all the brightness the sun could possibly muster. Oh, I wasn't ready for that. You know, that sun was painful, kind of seared into the back of my eyes. And I'll admit that there was a part of me that just really wanted to crawl back into the house and under my covers and go back to bed. But, you know, when I looked around, once my eyes had kind of adjusted, I looked around and I saw that it was a really beautiful day out. You know, there's still a little bit of frost out in the field back here, and the birds were out singing, and everything was just kind of pretty. The sky was a bright, beautiful blue. It was starting to warm up pretty nicely. And all of a sudden, my lousy morning didn't seem so lousy anymore. You can probably see why, as I was looking at this text this morning, I got to thinking about that morning. Verses 19 and 20 here say that this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for the deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds would be exposed. Now, I didn't like the light that much that morning. But this is a whole nother light that we're talking about. There is something incredibly painful about the light that has come into the world. Jesus is the light that came into the world. And for us, we know that this is a cause for rejoicing, that Jesus is the light that has come into the world. But we also have a reminder here that this light, it's not all puppy dogs and rainbows, right? There's the temptation to run from it. There's the temptation to hide from the light. And there are going to be people around us who spend their entire lives running from that light, meaning that they remain under the judgment of God. And what's that judgment? That men love darkness. To get an idea of what's meant by this, it'd be helpful to go back and see why it is that Jesus compares himself to this snake lifted up by Moses. For some of you, I'll be telling you something that you're already familiar with. But for all of us, this episode in Israel's history is really important for our understanding of God and how he works. So if we go back to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 21, and look at verses 5 through 9. That's where we find the story of the bronze snake. All kinds of pages turning, and I didn't even ask. That's awesome. Numbers 21, 5 through 9. And we read this: the people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. So the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and you. Intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us." And Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard. And it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he will live." And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the standard. And it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. All right, so here we've got a group of people who have, quite frankly, lost their faith in God. They're so hung up on their own difficulties in life that they have run from God's light and are cowering in the shadows, grumbling against God. They no longer believe God to be loving and just. They no longer trust that he is good enough to provide for them. And really, that's the core of their sin right there. In fact, unbelief is exactly what sin is. Sin is not believing that God is who he says he is and that God is going to do what he's promised to do. And so the sin of unbelief brings about this specific sin of complaining against God. And because God is perfectly just, he must punish sin. And as we all know, the punishment for sin is death. And so God has these fiery serpents that he sent as judgment upon Israel's sin. But those serpents were sent as more than only a judgment for sin. We see in the response of the people here. All of a sudden, this light bulb goes on with them, right? Ding. We have sinned against God. Into the darkness of their own sin, somewhere, somehow, a light has brought to their mind the fact that they have sinned against God. And this causes them to cry out to Moses to intercede for them so that they won't die. Perhaps that light was kind of the stars in their eyes as these painful snake bites hit them, but I don't know. Might be going too far with that. But this is the condition of all of us. All of us are born with the natural inability to believe God. We're all born with a natural predilection towards sin and the natural desire for that sin to remain hidden in darkness so that it won't be revealed. We don't want to know about our sin. Too painful. We don't really want to know that we've sinned, and so God has to get our attention, just like Israel in the wilderness. He has to get our attention somehow. Unfortunately for us, sin is brought to light now, not through fiery serpents, but by the light that has come into the world. Jesus Christ, full of light, full of truth, reveals to us just how sinful we are. His light reveals to us the fact that our natural inclination really is to not trust God, but to reject Him. And so that natural inclination, well, it manifests itself in all kinds of different kinds of sins. I can't possibly list them all for you here. But you know, that light really is painful. Just like that morning light burnt my eyes, and just like the fiery serpent's venom burned within the people of Israel, the light of Christ burns into us the reality of our own sinfulness. And it burns into us the necessity of God judging us for our sin. And that's why you get the statement you see here in verse 18. The one who does not believe has been judged already. The one who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. God's judgment upon sin is a given. From even before life's first cry, we fall under the judgment of God for our sin. And that judgment is death and eternal separation from God. So in our unbelief, we already stand under judgment. But take a look at what it is that happened between Israel and God. When they saw the light, when they saw that painful light that showed them their sin, they cried out for salvation. They cried out to God to provide them with the salvation they so desperately needed. They needed God to provide them with something that would remove the curse of death from their sinfulness. And God, because He is both just and loving, both just and merciful, He does provide them with the very salvation they needed. So in this case, Moses was instructed to raise a bronze serpent up on a pole for all Israel to see. And the promise was that whoever looked upon that bronze serpent would be saved from death. Now, this is where we got to step back and say, wait a minute. That's kind of ridiculous, right? How on earth can a lump of bronze shaped like a snake save people from death? It's ridiculous. You know, in our 21st century enlightened minds, it's just incomprehensible that looking at a metal snake is going to save someone from a poisonous snake bite. Ridiculous. You know, it seems I read somewhere that God uses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. I think that's kind of a scriptural thing. But more importantly, since this was such an incomprehensible thing, such a foolish thing, it demanded that this act of the people of Israel looking upon the snake was nothing but an act of pure faith. It was an act of pure faith on the part of Israel. Because here we've got a people that are already headed for death on account of this snake bite. And the people of Israel could do nothing to save themselves except trust completely in God's promise that this was their means of salvation. Now, is this starting to sound a little familiar? All of us have been judged already. We have already been judged to be sinful and to fall short of the glory of God. And we are destined to death and eternal separation from Him. So now, The light of the world has come. He is illuminating our sinfulness. He shines into the deepest, darkest corners of our hearts to show us the fact that we have not believed God as we should. And that painful light, as it sears our conscience, leaves us crying out to God. It illuminates the fact that we are already standing under judgment. The light isn't the judgment. It shows us the fact that we're judged. It leaves us out crying to God to remove the curse of death from our sinfulness. It leaves us pleading for God to provide us with something, anything, that's going to save us from the judgment that has already fallen on us. And now we've got this foolish notion that a man, this Jesus of Nazareth, as he's raised up on the cross, would be the remedy from the poison of sin that is our death. Already dead in our sin, God calls us to look upon that cross and live. And because the foolishness of the cross makes absolutely no sense to the wisdom of this world, we can only look to that cross as an act of pure faith. It's an act of faith that looks to the cross and believes the promise that God did indeed send his only begotten Son to die for us sinners. Through faith in that promise, God's judgment is immediately removed from us. And you go to verse 18, those who believe in him are not judged. You who believe in this lifted up Christ, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. All because of the love of God. The love God has for what can only be described as a rotten, stinking, sinful world. We can't comprehend that kind of love. But for God so loved the world, for God so mourned the judgment that has to fall on us because of our sin, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world. You see, the world has already been judged as evil, but that the world would be saved through him. The light came into the world, not to judge us, but to show us the fact that we are already judged. So that by that very same light, we might be saved from death. Talk about a painful yet beautiful light. When I walked outdoors that one bright sunny morning, the light burned my eyes. But even so, the sun showed me the beauty of the world around me. And this is what the light came in the world to do. To mercifully burn into your heart the fact of the judgment that you already fall under. So that you would open your eyes to the salvation that is provided through his blood. Is it tempting to run from that light? Sure it is. Who wants their evil deeds exposed anyway? Doesn't feel good. But the light that is shed on our sinfulness is always, always the same light that saves us from sin. Praise be to God for his indescribable gift. Let us pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, without the light that came into the world, we wouldn't even know that we need salvation. We wouldn't even know the depth of our own sin. So, Lord God, as painful as it is to be reminded that we are sinners in need of grace, thank you. Thank you for being the light that lights up that fact in us. Lord God, we pray that you continue to be the light in this world that both shows people their sin and makes the promise of forgiveness. Lord God, let us carry that light with us as we go into this world. As sinful as it is, let us be stewards of that light, loving the world as you have loved it, loving it so much that you sent your Son to die for it. Let us bring that light into the hearts of our neighbors, of our families, our friends, the strangers that we meet, so that by that light they may be saved. Our God, we thank you for this incredible gift. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.